time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Not today, though. No. It's Glenn and Scott in for Charlie, and Charlie came on yesterday, yep, and just wanted to let people know that his arm is good. He, yep, doesn't have coronavirus, yep, and he's just not feeling the greatest right now.
It's interesting how he wasn't feeling great even yesterday. But as soon as the mic went on, he sparkled.
Right there. And this is who Charlie is.
Yeah.
And so for the time being, he will come in when he feels like it.
Yep.
And when he doesn't, he won't.
Yep.
And we'll work with that. But I can guarantee you this show will still be called The Charlie Evers Show, and that theme song will be there forever and a day.
Because Charlie Evers is on.
That's right.
I did get a call while you...
Go ahead.
Let's have
this conversation. I want to have it right on the air, Glenn. We had it in the office yesterday. Let's go ahead with it.
Wait a minute. I can't remember. Oh, no. I'm not going to say anything about that conversation. But I did get a call from an icon, a Marian icon.
You got a call from the icon? Oh, Glenn. Oh, did I miss the icon calling?
I'm sorry. Anyway, we talked about who was my favorite on
Facts of Life.
Thank you. I almost said all in the family.
I want to straighten that out. You about rolled over me there with that whole icon thing.
I'm going to roll over you.
No.
We're not going to talk about that.
No, why wouldn't we talk about this? This is a good conversation to have. No, it's interesting because we had a conversation yesterday. This is not a bad conversation about what does... these adjectives that we describe people as. I mean, who's an icon? Who's a legend? Who's well known?
Well, I'm not an icon.
No, and neither am I. But I mean, what makes you...
There are people that would think you're a Marian icon.
No, they wouldn't.
Much like this person that we're talking about.
No, they wouldn't. No. But you know who... Like, in my personal life, if we're going to talk about broadcasters, because that's what we're talking about here. No, the icons for me, but they have purposeful reasons, locally... Mm-hmm. Are Madge Cooper, and many listeners remember Madge because we've had trivia questions about her. Now, the reason Madge is an icon to me is because she started in radio January of 1941. Women were not in radio in 1941. Mm-hmm. And if they were, they weren't the leader of the station, and she was.
Yeah.
And this is before television. So that's one reason Madge is an icon. And also because Madge in the 50s went to New York and won national awards for covering Fashion Week, which still goes on to this day. And she won it from a little station in Marion, Ohio, won a national award.
Yeah.
So, and also Madge interviewed Gary Cooper's mother and Fran Allison at the height of Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. She was really the pioneer of celebrity interviews in local radio. So for me... Madge was, and people won't remember this name, but Pauline Tregear was a huge designer in New York. Madge interviewed Pauline Tregear from New York in the 60s.
I'm an old guy and I don't remember that name, but I'm
I don't know it either, but I know it because of Madge.
I won't go into the pantyhose
Charlie
section
knows,
in the story.
Charlie knows who Pauline Tregear is. But so that's why she's an icon to me.
Okay.
Because she broke the barriers.
Now, right there is the key. You said to me.
Right, right.
And that's what it really comes down to.
Who's in? If you can make a case, I'm fine for it.
Well.
But here, now hold on. I got two. Give me a minute. One is Madge.
Okay.
And that's why it's Madge.
And I know who the other one is. Okay,
right here.
And she's an icon to me, too.
Oh, no, I'm talking broadcasting.
Oh, okay.
No, Charlie.
Of course.
And I don't have to kiss Charlie's hindquarters at this point. But you know what? Buckeye Chuck still remains.
Yeah.
40 years later, he did it. It's named for him.
Yeah.
It'll be here long after he's gone. All the money that was raised for something he came up with, the Peanut Push, which mm-hmm. still goes on to this day. Mm-hmm. And so there's that.
And the lady up
Lady on Justice on yeah. top of the courthouse, yeah. finding it, putting it up, with no help from people at the radio station.
Just the fact he went,
Went up there. So that to me... And the bikes across Ohio for cancer. Yeah. You know, he was doing... So that... Charlie was creative. And you don't come up... Because the radio station wasn't making that stuff up. That was Charlie yeah. doing that.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is why he's an icon. Also, Madge and Charlie... Madge did her last broadcast when she was 99 years old.
Uh-huh.
Okay? She had a long career, 70 years nonstop. Charlie's still on the air today, 60 years in,
yeah,
and has no plan to quit. If he could be here today, he would. If he felt good, he'd be sitting here right now. So that, to me, is why in Marion, to me, they are icons.
And,
that's it.
And I'll agree with you. And I like the fact that you put to me, because to me, Madge is nothing. She is.
Right. Glenn, they're going to beat you out of town.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't
you
mean.
You don't use it that way. You don't say she's nothing.
No.
You just don't know her.
I didn't know of her, so she is not an
God,
icon
Glenn,
to
you
me.
You don't say nothing.
I'm sorry, Madge. I know you're gone on, but.
She's gone on her. You're going to have to go to her shade and apologize.
I am very sorry. I didn't mean she was nothing. I meant that she, to me, I didn't know her from Adam.
Right.
I lived in Indiana, and I lived in Athens, and so I didn't have any relationship. Yeah. Anyway, one of our icons in Marion called while you were in the bathroom.
I think you can say his name. I don't think it's
Jeff Ruth.
Jeff
called.
Ruth. Sure.
I'm not sure I'm going to tell tales on him here, but he asked me who my favorite. What is the name of that show again?
Well, let me also say this. Here's one of the reasons. I worked with Jeff for 5 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I've worked with Charlie, too. But I think Jeff would say it. I think Jeff would say that his icons are Charlie and Madge.
Yeah.
I think he would.
Well, my icon.
He worked with both of them.
Here would be Charlie.
Yeah.
I know Madge, but.
But I'm glad that people put icon in front of Jeff's name in the newspaper. I'm glad. Because Jeff is. Now, I'll tell you what Jeff is. Jeff is a tremendous sports broadcaster.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And he's. He has longevity that helps.
And he has longevity.
Absolutely
he,
does.
40 years. Absolutely. But, and he's on right now. Not right now, but he's on somewhere.
Yeah.
And I, you know, if I knew the place, if I knew that station's numbers, I'd give them.
I don't
understand that whole thing about not mentioning other stations. Like
oh,
CBS
yeah.
doesn't
Never
mention
did understand
NBC.
That.
I'll do it.
It used to be against the law. You couldn't use the call letters of any other station. It was against the FCC rules.
When is Jeff on? If
I have
anybody
no
knows
idea.
This, call and tell me. I don't mind. Call right now. Tell me when he's on. Tell me what station he's on. And we'll promote that because I like Jeff. Oh. Jeff is a great guy. He's done a lot for me here. He's come on this station as a guest.
I'm going to tell you who his favorite Facts of Life girl was.
Please do. Can we get through that? Is the icon conversation done now?
Nancy McKinn.
McKeon.
Nancy McKeon. She was the one that was kind of tomboyish, and I liked her second. But the one I liked the most, and I've got to roll it back here, Lisa Welchel.
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 Yeah. She was
Lisa
my
Welchel.
Favorite. Yeah.
Okay. Holy Moses Malone. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I can't let this go.
Hey, Jeff.
It's the icon. Go ahead.
No,
that's your name forever, by the way. The icon.
My goodness. So I'm obviously in. I'm sitting. I'm watching The Price is Right in my pajamas with the volume down, and I'm listening to you.
We're sorry.
I'm doing what they say. I mean, I'm kind of hunkered down in place, and I just haven't done much at all here in the last couple of weeks.
Well, we're glad you called in, and I have the names of all the girls, and I'm going to give it after we're done talking.
Okay.
So do you enjoy doing nothing?
Not particularly.
In the words of my psychoanalyst who helped me get through my retirement, go do something.
let's see.
You're still doing sports, right?
Through basketball,
yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's true.
In the fall, but on Tuesday, I live out in Fair Park. I walk down around the library. I walk downtown. Walk down Main Street. Stopped and got something to eat at Subway. And so I'm trying to take walks. You know, that kind of thing to kind of stay active. As I told Glenn when I called during the news, I'm going through a lot of old sports media guides and. Just, I mean, I'm like a lot of people. I'm cleaning a lot of stuff out.
How important was the sports media guide to you? I used to make
them. I loved those.
Did you? Yeah. And they really, back in the day, they were kind of important. Now, a lot of the guys just take their laptop with them to the games, and they can pull it right up.
Oh yeah. And, of course, I don't do that. Yeah. No, I always enjoyed the media guide.
You know, Jeff, I was thinking, being, you know, this is your first year not on the air on a regular basis every morning. Had you been on the air during this pandemic, this unprecedented thing, what do you think you would be talking about on the air? Do you miss being on the air live during something like this?
Honestly, no. I'm enjoying getting up at 10 o'clock in the morning and sitting in my pajamas and watching television. So I'm kind of enjoying that.
Jeff and I we've spent several hours laboring over House of Hunan food.
I understand. Well, no, Jeff, when are you? Because here, I mean, honest to goodness, I haven't had a chance to talk with you, but ever since that newspaper article ran, a lot of people have come up and thought it was here and they didn't know the time. When can they catch you, your new show?
Okay, well, because I heard you talking about, actually, Tom Kennedy, who used to work, and if you want to put in the plug, that's I appreciate that. Tom had called me back during the winter and wanted to know if I'd be interested in maybe doing two or three kind of 10 to 15 minute morning magazine type interviews. And I said, well, I really, you know, can't because I'm doing basketball, but I said at the end of basketball season, give me a call. So he did. And I said, yeah, I said, I could do that. So the premise was I'm doing about two or three kind of 10-minute interviews a week, and that's it.
Well, that's what you get for $1,000.
Well, yeah. And you know, it was going to be, you know, occasionally talk with the mayor or Steve Banneker, let people know what's going on with the senior center, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Obviously, this is the third week I've been working for him. But I do now. I'll do about two to three interviews a week, and I do them all. I'm able to phone in from the house. He's got a studio at his house, and I can do it, you know, all from the living room. And
in your pajamas.
In my pajamas, yeah, and you don't even have to go out and eventually once everything clears up, I'd like to go out and, you know, do some in person, but all of the interviews I've done so far have been, you know, over the phone, which is probably the smart thing to do.
Right.
I talked with Cindy Price with the Board of Elections when they were having that whole scenario, you know, is the, you know, are the polls going to be open, aren't they going to be open? I know you talked with Tracy. I've talked with Tracy Kinsler a couple of times, and just kind of talking about, you know, what people should do and that kind of thing. But yeah, I can do it all over the phone, and it's the call letters are 104.7.
Okay,
and when are you on?
Well, it's all taped. I'm on basically 7:05 and 3:05. They play it back. But 7:05 and 3:05, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay. And it's 10 minutes, so they've got to get in there at 5 after the hour.
Oh, right. It follows the news. They have a national news for 5 minutes at the top of the hour. So
okay.
This afternoon, basically 3:05. Well, today's Thursday, so it won't be on today, but it will be on tomorrow. Basically, you know, they're 10 to 12-minute long segments. And you know, Tom's basically wanted to do a little bit more with the community because, you know, you can't do that now on the old AM, and he kind of wanted to do something like that. So I said, sure. So, you know, literally, I'm working maybe 3 hours a week, and that's it.
So, small town radio has really kind of been revived by the fact that so many radio stations have gone to automated music all the time. I really believe the smaller, especially the low power stations, that I think we've saved lives. I remember seeing a thing on television about a young man who stayed with his low power station throughout a tornado in a place down in Alabama or Arkansas and saved lives because he could tell people where the tornado was.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure back, when we had the blizzard,
yep,
with, Charlie and Roger Fisher and Steve Stewart. I mean, they were at the station for, 3-4 days, continuously talking. And, if somebody in New Bloomington was out of power or needed baby formula, somebody would get that to them. And, it made a tremendous difference.
Yep.
So. And that's why I enjoy listening to you in the morning. I usually don't listen to Scott at 8 o'clock because I'm not up. But if I get up between 9 and 10, I'll turn you on because I enjoy listening to you.
There you go.
Well, we appreciate it, and we always love having you on. So once this all breaks up and you're out of the house again, we'll come in and we'll talk about your return to radio.
Yeah,
I would enjoy doing that.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, you're welcome. And again, keep Marion entertained. You're doing a fine job with that.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let me tell you, before
I
forget.
You Jeff would appreciate that icon conversation.
Kim Fields was the African-American young lady, and Mindy Cohen was the kind of heavyset young lady on that show. But Jeff and I, we know who we liked.
Blair.
I liked Lisa Blair, and he liked the... The
Nancy McKeon.
Yeah.
Nancy McKeon. Okay. So, see, there you go. Now, that was a whole... Now, outside of broadcasting, I think the icons in Marion are Mary Ellen Withrow, without doubt. Nobody, yeah. And probably Warren Harding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he would be an icon throughout the nation.
And maybe Norman Thomas, who really was a pioneer in socialism nationally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll give it to them.
But, I'm pretty far left, and I had no idea who Thomas was until I came here.
Well, he's been dead for 70 years.
So I wouldn't say he's a total icon. But
well, I think in his day he probably was.
Probably was. Yeah.
I think he probably was an icon.
He's calling right now.
Is this Norman Thomas?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope so. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, we beat the dog to death on this, John Snyder. I'm going to try 18.
It is 18.
Had to be. You surrounded it and then captured it. Good job.
Thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Yes. He must have got the job when he was 17, but did not appear until he was 18.
And that's logical, yeah.
I thought so. Now, the questions are, at this particular point, on Facts of Life, what was the name Andy gave to the girls' singing group?
Yeah, we haven't found that one.
Haven't found that one yet. What show was the Dukes of Hazzard a spinoff of? On Three's Company, what was Larry's last name, the upstairs neighbor? What professional wrestler popped both of John Stossel's eardrums during a 2020 interview? What was Reverend Jim's real last name on Taxi? And those are the questions right now, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I just got confirmation, by the way, that tomorrow morning, 8 to 10, on the station, Abby and Michelle will be in.
Okay.
And we'll be giving away root beer floats from Stewart's.
Excellent, excellent.
So 8 to 10 tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and you can go by Stewart's and pick up your float. You don't have to...
Right, you don't have to come here.
Yeah.
You'll just write your name down, and you'll go on over to Stewart's. So tomorrow morning, listen from 8 to 10. And I'm sure there will be just some huge disagreement between the three of us tomorrow morning, because that's how it goes.
You always do. And it's just with women. You are the...
I'm disagreeing with you right now, Glenn.
Well,
have we had this hour?
I'm kind of effeminate anyway.
Is that what it is?
You are the Howard Stern of Marion.
Oh, I hope not.
When it comes to women.
I want to be more of like the Mike Wallace of Marion.
Okay. All right.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Howard Stern wouldn't get Sam Donaldson and Phil Donahue.
No, I like, yeah,
I think you're right.
I think you have to be a newspaper. This is how I think of radio, to be honest. If you could see Glenn's face when I talk, and he says we don't have disagreements.
No, I'm just confused.
Give me a second. I'll explain it to you. I think we have to be like a newspaper as broadcasters. I think people who are, what's the word? I think who are so righteous about it.
Careful.
That, careful. Well, no, the righteousness people.
Yeah.
Who, I can only talk to a politician. No. I've interviewed strippers. I've interviewed...
So have I, but it wasn't on the radio.
But no, I think when you bring Abby and Michelle in, that's not an interview.
You're not comparing them to strippers, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, Glenn, that when you bring Abby and Michelle in, that's not going to be an interview. I'm not going to ask them about their life.
No.
That's going to be comedy.
They sort of shoot the bull like you and I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, I want to be able to have Sam Donaldson on and talk about...
And be serious.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's the front page. Sam Donaldson's the front page talking about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Kinsler's the medical section talking about COVID locally.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's the comic page having Abby. But I think you got to have it all.
The comic page.
That's why you're a newspaper.
No, they're the local page, not the comic page.
Oh, I don't know.
The comic page is this show right now.
Well, what's the section in the newspaper that's entertainment? The entertainment section?
Yeah.
They're the entertainment section.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, they are entertaining.
And they will be in tomorrow morning, 8 to 10 a.m. live, and we'll be giving away ice cream floats to root beer.
I wish you'd quit beating them up, though.
Are
you listening?
When do I beat them up?
All the time.
No, those are just,
fun barbs.
Keep them in line.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's all you got to do. I don't know. What else is there to talk about now, Glenn?
Well, I've got my show that's coming on after this. We're going to talk about facts around Easter. And there are some interesting facts, and I'm not talking about biblical facts.
Where did the Easter Bunny come from?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Where did he come from? From the Easter Bunny's mom.
Is that where it was?
I guess. I don't know.
I thought it might have been the stork.
I don't think that was one of the questions. I would like to know where the term shoot the bull came from, though. Why does that mean talk? Shoot the bull. Poor bulls.
One time, boy, something struck in my brain that I have not thought about for like 15 years.
Okay.
Oh, and it's odd because it involves Madge Cooper.
14-year-old girls.
No. Okay. Listen to this. And I don't even know if I can say it. You can, but I didn't. Here's the story.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the big thing in Marion used to be the charity ball.
Yes.
Every
I heard about that when we moved here.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, MRN broadcasted. That was one of the things Madge helmed, was broadcasting the charity ball.
I imagine that was totally exciting.
It really was.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Holy
Because
crap.
All the doctors came, and it was a big to-do, and you put on tuxedos, and they had a band and a big buffet, and it was fun. So
I can't imagine that on the radio, but go ahead.
It was great.
Okay.
Because people use their minds.
Okay.
Okay, so by the time I came around, Madge was, up in age, but I think she was 97, and she was going to do the charity ball again because she was a big fashion person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how it was. I think it was the late Mike Mitchell, who was a salesperson at WMRN.
Yeah, I know Mike.
Yeah, the late Mike Mitchell. I think he wanted to do it because I think he's the one who sold it to the sponsor.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I got paired up with Madge to do this. What are you doing? I'm telling a story and you're looking at your cell phone.
Well, I'm looking at my cell phone because I want to come up with the name of a person that does what you're talking about. And for some reason or other, I got one of those stupid phone calls from
does what I'm talking...
Saskatchewan. One of those people that makes something that I consider boring, like this cotillion that you're talking about.
Cherry ball?
Cherry ball.
Not the South.
And
a cotillion.
Makes it sound so beautiful.
And that's what she was good at doing.
Stan Freeberg is the guy I was looking up.
Oh, okay.
You remember him.
I remember him.
Yeah.
So Madge and I go out to do this charity ball on a horribly icy night. And mm-hmm. as a radio person, you had to wear a tuxedo because it was a big...
Yeah.
So I had a tuxedo on, and Madge was dressed nicely. And she covered the fashion and did the interviews, and I caught people as they were coming in the door. And that's how we did it. Anyway, at some point...
You caught them because they were falling down, or...
Yeah, I picked them up as they were coming out.
Slippery day.
Radio talk, Glenn. As they were walking in the door, I interviewed them. Why are you here? That's what I did. So, okay. We're doing this charity ball, and at some point during the broadcast, Madge used a term that I've heard people say for years, and it's not a dirty term. But I remember the following Monday.
Careful now.
No, it's not. Okay. I went into the radio station the following Monday, and I remember one of the managers complaining that she had used this phrase during the broadcast.
That sounds a little picky. Why would anybody complain about a phrase?
I don't know. Maybe they just didn't like the thing. But I'm going to write it down here before I say it. I'm going to say it because I don't really think...
You don't think it's bad?
No.
So you're going to give me... Well...
Now, do you think that's a bad thing?
I think it probably started as a bad thing.
You think that's where that term came from?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
So you couldn't say that?
Oh, yeah, you can say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what she said was...
Go ahead.
Well, no, it's not bad, is it?
Well, depending on the context, yes.
No, what she said, she was talking into, we're out of time.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Yeah. We were just about out of time, and she was done doing all her interviews, and she said, I've shot my wad. That's it. I didn't even think twice. I don't think it is a bad term.
It has become a common usage, but I'm certain that it probably wasn't initially.
But do you think she was using it in
a
dirty way?
Absolutely
not. A 97-year-old broadcaster of...
No.
100 years.
And I don't think women think that way anyway. There are a lot of men that would think that.
I just remember Monday somebody coming up to me about that, and I thought, first of all, what am I supposed to do? Shut her up?
Yeah.
Cover her mouth?
You didn't have a 5-second delay, I'm sure.
Nobody else thought anything of it.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said anything about it. But, boy, that manager didn't like it.
Well, there are a lot of people that are a little hyper on that goody-goody two-shoes stuff.
Well, I think people read too much into words anyway.
So yeah, they do.
This is a whole thing about words today.
That was a huge argument my father and I used to have. Dad, as everybody knows by now, I've been broadcasting a lot. My dad was a minister, and we had an argument all the time about the four-letter words. And I'd say, Dad, it's just four letters put together. It doesn't mean anything. And he would explain how it offended some people, and that's why I shouldn't use those terms. And I think I took that to heart. I try not to use foul language, even though I'm kind of a foul person.
I don't know. I think some people... I don't like when it's used for a joke. You know, like when comedians use it because they can't think of anything else.
Well, there are a lot of comedians that use it to just get the laugh.
Right, I don't like that.
The embarrassed laugh, yeah.
Right. And why is it so fun to make an old lady say those words in a movie? But that always gets some kind of a laugh when there's a foul-mouthed old woman.
I don't know. Because it's shocking. That's why.
I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily funny.
No. I think it's just embarrassment.
But people take it as funny.
Yeah, because other people around them laugh. Have you noticed, I watch the late shows, you know, quite often, and have you noticed they are not funny and they're not terribly entertaining?
Who?
The late show hosts, when there's no audience, they're all doing it from home, and it's not nearly as funny or as
I think it's, how can you be funny when there's no audience?
Absolutely impossible. Yeah.
If you don't have the audience telling you what's funny and what's not.
Right. And the jokes can be written down and you can read them perfectly, but they're not funny if somebody doesn't laugh.
I don't think this is also a time to go out and tell jokes. I think we can do this and not talk about, you know, the bad stuff in the country all the time and have a fun conversation that's not contrived. But a joke's contrived. It's written... You're performing it. You're trying to get a laugh. I don't think I'd want to tell jokes right now.
It depends on the type of joke. And you're right. If it's just a contrived, written down, here's the straight line and here's the punch line, it might be a little overdone. Yeah.
I mean, what is funny to write a joke? Because usually jokes are written about the day's news.
Well, one of my friends, as you know, Mike Larson, who's running for office right now, did that. That was his out in California, in Los Angeles. He was a joke writer, and we've talked about that. And it's quite often it's not funny to them. You know, they'll write the joke, and somebody else will say that's funny. And
here comes the break. We'll be back in about 1 minute for the final 15 of this program, The Charlie Evers Show, here on WWGH Radio. If that's you, hang on the line. We'll be back momentarily.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
You're tuned into The Charlie Evers Show here on WWGH Radio 45, coming up on 46 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears and Glenn Coble filling in for Charlie. But as we said yesterday, Charlie did come back. Let everybody know that his arm is fine. He doesn't have the coronavirus. He's just not got a lot of energy right now, and will come in when he feels like it, and when he doesn't, he will do other things, like right now. So here's a treat, because this is the Charlie Evers Show. What a pleasure it is to be joined by the host of this show, Charlie Evers. Charlie, how you doing?
I got a stove I gotta sell.
You're in trouble. Yeah, and I'm going to make you listen to my theme song.
Oh, no. Anything.
Charlie hates my theme song.
Well, Charlie, how you doing?
Well, I'm sitting.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I sit most of the time. I don't know. I need more energy. Don't know what I take in Sure, and I this and that and everything else. Nothing seems to give me the get up and go that I really need.
Well, there are several times of during the day you have to get up and go, right?
Well, yeah.
You know what you need, Charlie? You need immune globulin.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, my father-in-law was a doctor, and if we got feeling really down, he'd give us a shot in the derriere of immune globulin, which stung to the devil, but after you got it in, you felt 100% better.
No kidding.
But I probably wouldn't mix with the rest of your medicine.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Yeah.
I take pills to drop my blood pressure, pills to do this and that. And so
do you take that blue pill?
No.
Okay, Charlie. I'll leave you alone.
Honest to God, Charlie. Glenn has been like this all day.
Oh, I love Charlie.
Oh, man. It's a thing
it's
here today.
Time for Swap
Shop. Oh, the favorite theme song. Charlie, what's been on your mind today watching all this stuff? Are you watching the Circle Channel today and staying away from the news?
I have been watching Hee Haw.
Hee Haw.
Hee Haw, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's on.
And Roma, what's her name?
Lulu?
Lulu, yeah.
Lulu.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lulu Roma. Or Roma Lulu.
She's a great friend of the station. Yeah.
And she introduces me every now and then.
Yes, she does.
She says
nice things about you. She was the only lady we could get to say nice things about you.
Is that right? Well, she's the heaviest one on Hee Haw.
Well, I'll make sure to tell her that, Charlie.
I watched Hee Haw for several weeks and no Lulu.
Huh.
And now all of a sudden she's on every episode.
Okay.
Maybe it was one of those times where she was in the clink.
Well, that could be. Yes, she had a very severe drug problem.
Yeah,
we did learn
that. But all of a sudden she said a few prayers, and it was gone. The drug problem went.
Pretty amazing. See, religion can help you, no matter what your thoughts are. If it can cure a druggie, it can do anything.
Oh, my, yeah. It's a shame we have the virus, still have drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Still people are overdosing on drugs.
Yeah, you know, and that message just before you came on was about the opioid crisis.
It was about stroke.
Oh, was it?
I don't remember.
Well, they talked about opioids. And, you know, that is one of those things that just has slid off the chart because of this coronavirus. We're not even talking about the opioid crisis now.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting. Opium is a drug. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm trying to think here. We have this opium epidemic. But we also, isn't opium a drug? By itself.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's made out of poppy.
Yeah,
poppy
derived
seed.
From a poppy. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And quite a bit of it.
I won't go by the house yesterday.
Well, I think most of them are over in where are we having the 18-year battle over in
Colombia?
No. Over in the central Middle East. Anyway.
Iraq.
Afghanistan?
Yeah, Afghanistan, yeah. I think a lot of them are raised in Afghanistan.
Is that why we fought and killed?
Yeah, we're trying to save the opioid crisis, yeah.
Yeah. It's a war, I tell you, money. Woo!
Now, you're looking forward to this stimulus, Charlie, that I guess people are going to start getting their checks today.
He's looking forward to any stimulus.
I don't get a check.
You don't?
Those of us on Social Security,
we get one.
No,
I'm on Social Security, too.
Yeah.
As long as you filed taxes.
You'll get the big $1,200, Charlie, and your wife.
If you
don't have to file taxes. I went to a tax man, and he said, well, you don't need to file taxes. You're old, and you don't make enough money.
Yeah, but the federal government now is saying,
you don't have to file
taxes.
No, so you and your wife, Charlie, will both get $1,200 when it comes around.
Well, that sounds like a beer blast to me.
What's that, Charlie?
I don't have to stand outside with my hat open to cars going by.
You could stand at the corner of Main Street and Center Street and wave up at the statue on top of the courthouse and tell people, I did that.
Yeah, she needs painting so bad.
Yeah, that's what I heard you say.
Eventually, she'll just topple over, and people will say, well, why didn't they do something about it?
Yeah.
Well, I've been talking about it for ages.
Did I hear you talking on your show that the fiberglass underneath is starting to show?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yikes. Let's do
something. I coded it, or had it coded, a $2,500 paint job.
Wow.
That the money donated by Thurman Matthews.
Oh, thanks,
painted
Thurman.
Her, and it... its expiration, is up. I mean, it can only last so long.
Yeah.
Now, that was $2,500 in 1980, so the money he paid was probably like $5,000 or something now.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
What a good guy.
But,
well, his grandson, Spencer's on TV an awful lot. Maybe he's got the money.
Oh, there's been so many things. A lot of good things have happened, but they were always or sometimes preceded by disheartening thing, like when I raised the money to build the arena on the fairgrounds. It was so encouraging. People, one person sent $25, and I'm blind, but if this helps the kids, great.
Oh my!
And that was so encouraging. But here, and all of a sudden, Clyde Sappington, who was a township trustee in Big Island, came to my office crying. And I said, what's the matter, Clyde? He said, I just came back from the county commissioners, and they said, I've got to raise $22,000 more to pay for union workers. And I said, union workers? Well, yeah, they said if you don't get union workers, there'll be a big strike. Well, I later on, after it was built, and I raised that $22,000 extra, I spoke to the National Convention of State Fair Managers, and I told them that story, and they almost shook the building down with laughter.
Really?
You mean you we don't pay union labor to have something like that done?
Oh, my.
Well, but it got done.
Yeah.
And thanks to the Marion, Ohio Kennel Club, they helped supply the money for restrooms and everything else. And then the kids had a great place to show their animals, and still do, of course.
Yep, still do to this day. You know, how much did it cost to make that, Charlie? How much did it cost to erect that building?
Oh, it was around $85,000, I believe.
Boy.
Somewhere around there.
Now
it costs for today.
$8 million.
Yeah, a lot of dough. Yeah. Did they ever figure out how the original building burned down?
Yes. Some kids were playing with fire in the old building, which is a wood frame building. And there were buckets of, like, ashes or bark in there. And they set them on fire and tipped them over. And I don't think they realized what they were doing. But the fire burned the building down. And,
yeah.
And the fair was the following year. And I said to our listeners, what are we going to do? The kids are going to have a place.
Yeah.
And they depend on us. And but it was solved. But here's the thing. During that time I was raising money for that, I had a series of headaches called cluster headaches.
Hmm.
I had had them for 25 years, and I tell you, the pain was terrible. But got her done.
Yeah. Now
and the headaches went away.
That's an interesting story, Charlie. Didn't Dr. Landefeld cure you of those headaches?
Yes, yes. Well, I tell you who really, he helped, but Johnny Lawson, at Lawson Chiropractic, he had this little electronic gun, and he said, now I'm going to shoot your nerve endings in your face.
This is getting painful.
A little tingle, and they never came back.
Huh.
I can't believe it yet, and I think of all the other people that are having cluster headaches. It could be helped if they only knew help was there.
Well, now you could just take a joint and smoke it, and you'd be a lot better.
But I tell you, something else. Now, this is interesting. I once, at an auction, bought a little thing with a battery in it, and at the end of the battery was a little roller. And so I put a new battery in it and held it to my face, and it shocked me.
Oh.
And I thought, what on earth? Oh, my dad was suffering at the time from, he couldn't smile. I forget what that's.
He had you as a son. Is he still there?
It was all gone.
Huh.
And I paid 50 cents at an auction for it.
Wow.
And it fixed his smile.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, what do they call that?
I don't.
Or you can't smile, really. You got a smirk on your face.
Can't tell you. Yeah. It wasn't a little stroke or of any sort, was it?
No, there's some name for it.
Is that the
anyhow,
Bell's palsy?
Bell's palsy, exactly. And it cured it.
You're a lot smarter than I thought, Scott.
It took a couple of weeks, and every day he would run that up and down across his face, and by George, oh, it was great.
That's cool.
Cured his belt. So have you ever had a headache at all in the last 40 years, Charlie?
Hardly, no. I can't think of any, no.
Well, that's
pretty
good.
Gone forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I keep thinking, if that treatment's available for those of us that had a cluster headache, go at it. My. A cluster headache is when your blood vessels swell in your on top of your head and press against the nerves.
Hmm. Wow.
Well, anyhow, it's a great day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we're all starting to get a little bit of anxiety now thinking about that.
Yeah.
Cluster headaches.
Yeah.
Yep. So, what's new at the radio station? in 1 minute.
Well, yeah, I know, in 1 minute. Well, this morning we had Tracy Kinsler on, and a lot of people are reporting that the death yesterday of the MCI...
Mr. Dawson.
Is a Marion County death. It's not, because he was not a resident of Marion County. He lived in Richland County, so we still have no deaths in Marion.
That's right, yeah. There were some Dawsons in Marion. Clovis, he's gone. And his brother, Neil Dawson, had a used car lot, a Square Deal Neil. Oh, golly. There's so many memories out there.
Well, Charlie, we're so glad you're called in. Hopefully we'll hear from you tomorrow and periodically. Stay well, and we'll talk again soon.
Take care.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, see, there's the icon.
I'll agree with that. Charlie is my icon.
Glenn Coble coming up in 10 minutes.
The owner of the Marion grocery store, Smith Cardinal, Bob Smith.
Well, the height of, you know, ceiling things and everything. The height of one time, well, two times is a big story. This, we had been into teaching us how to know how to recognize somebody's ceiling. So this woman came up, and she was walking funny like this. And so I thought, well, something's wrong here. I think she's got something between her legs, because we had seen that before, you know, and teaching, and so I went up and bumped her, and sure enough, a turkey fell out.